Otakus, welcome back to the channel. I hope everybody's doing well. It's been watching some anime, reading some manga. I am here with the usual suspects as always, but we'll go ahead and reintroduce. So Brandon, what's been going on? How are you?
I'm excited. I can't wait to talk. I knew Monsters was going to be pretty crazy. I was not expecting to dig the other anime that we're going to be talking about today soon. So I'm excited to talk some anime and get you guys caught up with what I've been doing. I've been watching and reading a lot. Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff coming out this season. And Isaac, how's it been going?
I need to ask Brandon something before I mention how it's going. Are your refrigerator running?
It's too fast. I'm not even going to try and catch it.
You know where I was going with it. But yeah.
And the biggest thing is my Vespa is out of juice. So unless I sprout a new Conti out of my head, it's not going to happen.
But yeah, it's going good. I feel a bit gigantic. Nice. To say the least.
Nice.
And certain stocks... What? You and your
quote unquote hints. Because of course your photo today doesn't say anything at all.
Right. and certain stocks are keep on rising.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Maybe we'll get to hear a little bit more about that. But I'm Jamie, in case you're not, first time here. Welcome. We're going to be talking about Monster today, as well as another anime. But before we get to that, let's talk about, just what we've been watching. So I'd actually like to throw it back to you, Isaac. Have you been, what have you been up to, watching, reading?
Well, when it comes to the watching part, it's mostly been... Well, this, which we're going to talk about, I need to finish Pluto. Mm. I am up to speed with Solo Leveling, which is the prologue for that episode. It made me just laugh out loud, to say the least, considering, no, never mind. But when it comes to reading, it's the usual Sakamoto Days, One Piece, Jujutsu Kaisen, and what is it else I'm reading? Too big of a list. Make the Exorcist Fall in Love, which is an underrated gem in my book. Mm-hmm. And what else do we have on the list? There hasn't been a... Chainsaw Man.
We don't have your list, so just, just throw names out there, buddy. Just do it. Throw it out.
But yeah, what's more, I finally got the latest volume of the Persona 5 manga, which is
nice. Blast. Which number is that? 11?
11.
Yeah, 11. I got up to 9. Once I start reading, then I'll grab them again.
It's they mentioned it's going into Persona 5 Royal territory in story. If you don't want spoilers for that,
nice.
Adding in those kind of stuff. Cool. So I would argue one of the more important stuff from Royal, honestly. So in case you don't want spoilers for that game, since you haven't played Royal, I recommend you waiting to read a volume 11. I will say this, okay, though. The Persona 5 manga is infinitely better than the Persona 5 anime. Without a doubt.
I don't think they're the same creative team, right? It's two different teams?
I have no idea. But
I would assume so. Because we both know that Persona 5 anime... It's funny because the anime leaves a lot to be desired if you've played the game. But you remember that one shot that they that one shot episode they did when the game came out? It was amazing. Which is why I think when the anime came out, it was such a surprise that it was not it.
I wonder
a lot of us went like, what are we doing?
Which makes even less sense with it, since the Persona 4 anime is pretty good. And also, I have to wonder if A1 Pictures learn a bit from Persona 5 anime, since Nier Automata has been pretty good. Also, Core 2 is coming out. After Nier Automata anime comes out.
That was a very nice announcement.
It's bittersweet for me. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to watch it on release now. I went
through a lot. You're going to wait? There were too many delays.
I might wait a little bit. I might honestly wait.
Scared that's that fair. They weren't going to happen considering all the production delays. And, yeah. Well, let's face it, they have no matter what you say about solo leveling in terms of story and all that, yes, it's clear that it's a passion project for A1 Pictures that also is making solo leveling, especially when it comes to the fight scenes. Mm-hmm. And what else do we have? There's so much I'm reading right now that I'm can't recall half of it, but
we're gonna have to start putting a post out. Like every time it's your turn, all you're gonna do is post a PDF of the list. Like you're not allowed to keep saying
Star Wars crawl of all the titles and stuff that he's been
reading. At this point,
we do it like a light speed. Where people have to go back to the video and kind of slow it down to see the list.
Honestly, at this point, I could probably do what have I reading on my own stick for this channel with everything I'm reading.
Don't make me do it.
I'm sure people would love to know.
True. Very true.
Have we reached the end of the list, or do you have more?
What I can think of.
All right. Well, I'll pass it over to you, Brandon. What have you been watching?
Not seen anything. Goodbye.
So I've been...
So beyond the anime spotlights that we're going to be talking about today... I haven't been watching that much. Like, most of what I've been doing is reading. I am going to say, based on the conversation we all had last week, I finally got caught up with Solo Leveling. Is it delayed or is it on track? Or I just don't know where the episodes come out.
It's on track as far as I know.
Yeah.
But it comes out, come out on the weekends, right? What day does it come out?
Sunday. Is it Saturday?
Saturdays.
Sunday. I see Sunday. Okay.
So I got caught up probably because last week I didn't see anything.
Weird.
Interesting.
So I'm going to be honest. I kind of got what you guys were saying. Like it's a slow burn. So it doesn't really get exciting until later. I do appreciate the fact that the author literally says, okay, he's gonna live in a video game world now, do it. But everybody else that's in the video game world, which is the real world, which is not really a video game, everybody else
that settles it. I'm doing a stream about it later next week.
I love Mike. I do appreciate the fact that they make it so blatantly extreme, you know what I mean? And they make it, they literally go all out on that premise. So I kind of want to see where it goes from here. I kind of want to see what happens when he starts getting so strong that he's almost S level. And then he has to kind of like rub shoulders with all those other characters that were awakened into that level. I find it interesting. His arc has been pretty cool. I like where episode 5 left off, so I really want that storyline with the bugs and whatever, and the sleazy team members plays out. So I need some closure. So so I'm excited with that. I watched that. But what I did want to talk about here is that I'm finally caught up with Sakamoto Days. And damn it, why isn't there an anime? It is so good.
Been rumored for months.
I'm gonna say this live. I don't care about rumors. Rumors destroy lives. I don't need gossip. I need truth. Give me an announcement and some stills of that.
I have to ask, since we're going to Sakamoto Days, whenever it gets an anime, because it, let's face it, with how big it is, it's just a matter of time.
Oh, no, it has to. Yes.
What studio would you like to cover it? And please don't say Mappa.
So, that's a very good question. Because, you know what? To say someone different and to make it interesting and to bring it and to make it a modern anime, because as you know, even though a lot of more studios are experimenting with 3D with CGI animation hybrids, like not all of them are going full on. Like I wonder if Studio Orange would be a great studio to do Sakamoto Days, because the art that they use, that CGI hybrid that used for Beastars, would kind of play with the ultra-violent but also kind of grounded, hyper-realistic world of Sakamoto Days. And it will have that larger-than-life feel. Like, it would give it that movie feel, as opposed to without losing the anime manga kind of roughness that most drawings have. You know what I mean? Because, like, for example, I haven't seen the film, but I've seen stills of Dragon Ball Super Hero. And that's very, very, very clean CGI. Like, it's like it's
rough at some point.
But what I mean is, it doesn't have those textures that you would see like in Beastars, where all the models look textured and detailed, because they want to highlight the fact that someone drew these characters. I suppose that someone came up with 3D models of them. Does that make sense? So I kind of like that aspect of what Studio Orange did with Beastars. Which, by the way, where the hell is Beastars season 3?
I don't know. I don't know where they would go after. I need to refresh myself on where Beastars ended, but I remember it feeling kind of finite.
There's more. I know there's more. Or they can do the spinoff, Beastars Beast Complex. But yeah, like, I wonder if Sir Orange would do a great job with Sakamoto Days. Or Bones.
That's a good pick.
Because Bones can do great action.
It's also a good pick.
So those are two great ones. But
Wit.
See, but Wit is going to be doing the One Piece. Wait, is it Wit? Yes. It's going to be doing the One Piece. So I think they're a little busy.
Focusing on One Piece and Spy Family. And also, I forgot to mention, we are finally getting a release date of the Code White movie, and I cannot wait.
I have to get caught up with Spy Family. I haven't even finished.
Oh my gosh. And Oshinoko.
I have other things happening, but it will happen, I promise. I will get caught up with Spy Family at some point in my life.
Oh, Oshinoko is another man game reading. Now that you mention it.
Oh, nice.
And it's just it's such a manga that I'm just, what the fuck is going on?
Language.
Is that in a good way?
I don't care, Brandon.
See, he doesn't even know anymore. But the last thing I want to mention is that I really want to highlight this one. I started reading it a couple days ago, and I'm surprised how interesting it is. Viz just put out, not in its entirety, because for whatever reason, we got to put the first 20 chapters, take a break of 30 chapters, and then put the rest, because that makes sense to everybody. but they put out, they added to the app a manga called Fool's Night. And this, and for those that love sci-fi dramas in a dystopian future world, this is a very good book. I don't think they're making an anime anytime soon. The first volume physical in English doesn't come out till June, but I started reading it in the app because it is available there. It's a very interesting take on a dystopian future where Earth's inhabitability is affected because there's no more sunlight, and how through science they found ways of turning people in the verge of death into flowers and trees to keep oxygen in the world, and how that affects the socioeconomic aspects of life, the political aspects of life, the workforce aspects of life, what it means to be a government servant. And the main character is very interesting, and it's and what happens to him and his newfound ability after going through the process of transfiguration, which they call it's very interesting. I encourage people to check it out. It's called Fool's Night on Viz and on the Shonen Jump app. I am reading, I'm going to say again, Tsui Ishida's Shujin X is still super interesting. It's some of his best work, I believe. So if you loved Tokyo Ghoul and what he did there, you should go check out Shujin X. And if you're reading it like I am, let us know in the comments so I don't feel alone. Because sometimes I feel I'm the only one talking about it.
Dang.
But yeah, I'm excited. And yes, I love Fooly Cooly. That's why I'm wearing this jacket. That's amazing.
I forgot to mention, Mary,
you know that you don't get like second tries. You know what I mean? Like after you got a shot, you get all the
okay.
I'm kidding.
I forgot to mention the mangaka for Earth, Thermini Romain, is doing a sequel, and it's just, why is this on Shonen Jump? It's a Roman Empire old dude about checking out bathhouse. Yes, I'm serious, and it was just, why is it in Shonen? It's Shueisha.
Someone paid for it to be there and to be accessible.
That's facts. That's fine.
I mean, I know that our previous work has been award-winning as far as I can know, but I digress. Keep on.
Yeah, and as far as what I've been watching, same shows as before. I restarted Frieren, even though Frieren season one is not over, but I restarted because now that me and my brother are recovering from the trauma of Evangelion, we have moved on to watching Frieren. So we're watching Frieren.
It's a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah, something different. Something completely different. So we're watching that.
I'm in episode 6.
Ooh, okay.
Or 5 of Frieren. So nice. I'm little by little, I'm getting there.
Yeah. You'll see, once you get hooked, you'll just eat the whole thing up. That's good. I've also been watching Metallic Rouge and Delicious in Dungeon. Both shows dropped episodes today, so I will be watching those after this. Solo Leveling I've also been checking out. And yeah, I think that's all the anime that I've been watching.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice.
By the way, Brandon, I know where I can find a copy of End of Evangelion. Do you want me to send it to you so you can have it on the list, your list?
So, Jamie, I'm glad that you're enjoying Frieren. I love how he just comes back bursting out laughing. Now, what episode have you gotten on Frieren? Where are you at?
So my own watch, I was actually pretty much caught up. So I think we're on like what episode are we on? 8, 19, 18, something like that.
Wait, it has like 20 episodes already? It's a whole 20 something episode season?
Yeah, which I didn't know. I thought they were going to stop. Let me see.
I'm very behind. So I just got the reason I asked because I just got to the point where we figure out, you know, how for the last four episodes, everybody says, oh, Flam is probably not even a real person. Flam's books don't really exist, but there's like fakes around the world.
I haven't seen this theory.
No. That's kind of like the way they've been treating. Like every time they mention
something. Oh, I thought you said Fern. I was like, what?
Why? No, not Fern. Flam.
Gotcha.
Flam. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? Like they talk of Flam, this great mage, but nobody really like it doesn't really exist. And Fern always talks about how it's not true or there's no evidence of blah, blah, blah. And suddenly we kind of find out that it was freaking Fern's teacher. And I was like,
yeah.
Damn, girl. You're holding that close to your chest?
Well, you know, Freeman, she's like a really, I won't say like private person, but she doesn't just like flex just for the sake of flexing, you know? Like she goes to all these villages that she saved and she won't even say like, oh yeah, I'm the mage that saved you guys. She's like, oh, you know, just elf and mage, you know?
Yep. I love that she's the kind of person that when you least suspect and she'll just drop the mic and it was, the crowd goes wild.
I can't wait. There's, I don't think you're that far away from like, I don't know how they classify arcs, but there's a part where they get to a town and they have to like fight this like group of people. The finale for that. Oh my God. It's so good. I want to hear what you're
talking about. I gotta watch it.
That's where I thought the season was going to end and then it kept going and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay. So, bet. Well, remember, the journey's already over.
Yeah.
So whatever we get, it's just extra. All we're watching is a very extensive post-credit scene. Take that, Marvel. Nobody does a post-credit scene like Fearin.
Exactly. Now, low-key, they should do a spinoff where it's just like Fearin, beginning of journey. Or something like that, where you actually get to see their adventure.
Like she's coming out of the womb. And she's learning to walk. You know what I mean?
Oh gosh, not that.
And
far.
It's like, it's like six seasons until she meets Himmel and the perverted priest, drunken. Mm-hmm. That would be hilarious.
I need it.
That's the worst pitch. It was awesome. Now, I think it's time we talk about the anime spotlights that we have for 2 days. Now, which one do we want to do first? I know that Isaac is ready to talk some monsters, but I kind of want to talk extensively about Dorohedoro. So, do we just do monsters first?
We could do that.
We can do that.
I'm down.
I really don't mind started either.
You really don't mind. So, what I'm gonna do?
I don't mind.
So now, before we jump into monsters, Jamie, I do have to ask you the question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any idea that this has anything to do with One Piece or like when you first heard of it? Or did you just find out as you were watching it or like, what's the deal?
So I had a vague idea that it was connected to One Piece in some way. I kind of figured that it was kind of like a one-off kind of story about like a different character, but it was in the One Piece universe. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea that it actually like tied back until you see like that, I guess it's the post-credit scene then, or like the ending scene. That's when I was like, it actually connects. Because I know that the Wano arc is the arc that it just ended, right? That's the one that just ended.
Yes.
So yes. I was like,
at least it just ended in the anime. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But outside of that, going in, I had no real idea.
An arc that took 4 years to complete in the anime, which is just insane.
Yes. I think it's one of the longest arcs in anime in the latest anime history. Like it's crazy. Yeah, I think it spans almost like 15 volumes, right? It's a lot.
I do believe so.
It's crazy, but it's a phenomenal arc. It's a phenomenal arc. So to start a conversation on today's anime spotlights, we're talking about monsters. 103 Mercies Dragon Damnation. That is one hell of a mouthful of a name. Mm-hmm. But that's the name. That's the title. Mm-hmm. So we have to say it. It's our job to... Okay, I'm done. The art style is fun. Like, I like... I love how bright it is. Like, at certain moments, you feel like it's excessively bright, but it's not really because it has enough color to blend and stuff like that. I love how it reminds me of One Piece, but it's not One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no alluding to the sea. And I think their biggest triumph in this short film is that they give us so much content with phenomenal pacing in 25 minutes. It's just, you know, it comes and goes, but you walk away knowing who these characters are, what they're about, what defines them, what makes them interesting. It's, I don't know. I think they did a great job with this short. I was very satisfied as a One Piece fan. I strongly recommend it. And is it only on Netflix or is it on Crunchyroll as well? It's Netflix only, right?
Netflix.
Okay.
But the weird thing is, Netflix paid up for the production, which makes it so weird that it isn't worldwide. I had to start my VPN to being able to watch it. I mean, you produced it yourself. Why isn't it all worldwide, Netflix? Why?
Yeah. Well, you gotta go to Netflix to watch it. So they're getting the One Piece. They put like I think they're up to 13 seasons or something on Netflix for One Piece. So they're trying to get y'all, and it's working.
You said 13 seasons?
Yeah, they're up to 13 seasons now.
I gotta look into that because that sounds interesting. Because the way if they are organizing the seasons the way that Crunchyroll did, because I don't know if you guys know this, but Crunchyroll does not organize One Piece by seasons. They actually organize it by arcs, correct? So they only have 13, which I wonder, does that mean that Netflix has everything now?
Let me see. I can check really quickly. I want to say I saw 13 up there, but
because if the 13, you see the episodes and they talk about Guano, like it. So when you get to 13, if it says episode 830 something, it's because that's Guano. That means they have everything, because that's crazy.
Let us know what you find.
Let us know what you find on that, Jamie, while you look at. Now,
okay,
Isaac.
For some reason, okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but for some reason, it's not on Swedish Netflix. But then again, it could be some licensing stuff with that Crunchyroll has or something. I don't know.
So I believe these are organized by ARC because I see the names like East Blue, Skypiea, like. Goodbye Going Merry, I guess. I've never heard of that. But it says the most recent one is Egghead.
Okay, so it goes... Okay, I see what they did. So they're missing... Okay, so they're missing Fishman Island all the way to Wano. So it's missing a couple. So, okay, I see what they did.
It says 21 seasons now. But yeah, they're doing something different.
Yeah, so what they're doing... Because what they did was... is. They have the actual arcs, but they also have the movies that crunch the arcs into like a 1 hour 30 period. So like if you wanted to watch a movie about everything that happens in Alabasta, you don't have to watch the season. You can just watch the episode Alabasta, or you can watch the episode Skypiea and kind of get a nice.
Is that cheating, though?
It kind of is, but I would forgive people. But I mean, it is cheating, and you're missing out if you do that. but I get it. If you want to do that to kind of get caught up with what's going on, but yeah, they almost have everything. Like, because the only things that they don't have, if they have all that, is because right after Marineford, we have Amazon Lily, and then we have that's before. After Marineford, we have Time Skip, and we have the Fishman Island Arc. Then we have Punk Hazard. What goes after Punk Hazard, Isaac? After Punk Hazard,
I can't remember.
How can you not? Yeah. So after Punk Hazard, I think we go straight to Dressrosa. After Dressrosa, we have Big Mom.
I have reading One Piece, and I have recently got you to read it.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to keep the conversation going. But no, Netflix is working really hard to get everything under one roof, which is pretty phenomenal, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up, Jamie. But did you like it, Isaac? Did it? What did you love or enjoy about it? About this tale of Ryuma the King?
Honestly, it's similar to what you said, that it's you screamed One Piece, but that's kind of obvious considering it's Oda's work. But it's sort of like, how should I put it? It fits so
seamlessly.
Seamlessly, thank you. Within the continuity that it is, maybe, and it is a plus from that point, at least in my point of view. It made me want to get some prequel one shots of Gold Roger and not just the flashback stuff. Or Whitebeard, or maybe even
on the Joy Boy. Great.
Yeah, but maybe Joy Boy or
you're
going back so far. So,
yeah.
I mean, is it a masterpiece that I'm probably gonna revisit so many times? No, but it was a blast and it was a fun experience, addition to the lore of One Piece, kind of thing. Even though it came before.
Yeah. There's always been like crazy amounts of conversation also, like because of how talented Zoro has become, and how he's grown as a swordsman, and the fact that he meets Ryuma or undead Ryuma. If we're talking about the end of Thriller Bark, which is actually very, very, very stylistically added to the post credits of Monsters. I like that, even though you can definitely tell that Oda kind of like used Ryuma as a base to make Zoro, right? I love that. I like how Ryuma feels more lighthearted like Luffy, as opposed to the serious tone and demeanor that Zoro is known to have. You know what I mean? So I like the fact that they felt like different characters, even though they're kind of built somewhat the same way in terms of their skill and ferocity in battle and stuff like that. So I did like that hint. And for those that know, this is Ryuma I'm looking at the screen. So if you're looking at the screen to the left, that's Ryuma from Monsters. And to the right, you're going to see Zoro from the Wano arc, where he he goes full on bulky samurai. And a little piece of trivia for those that have not gotten caught up with One Piece, but don't worry, I'm not going to spoil something because I'm not going to tell you when this happens, but it does happen in the Wano arc, but I'm not going to tell you the moment. But the name of the film, so the book, this is a one-shot called Monsters from a book called Wanted, which had like multiple one-shots. So Monsters is this one. And I like the thematic resonance of, it's not just the dragon that's the monster, it's actually Shinaro and DR who are the monsters because they brought destruction just to make money. I like that simile or metaphor, whatever you call it. But the name 103 Mercies Dragon Damnation is actually the name of one of Zoro's most powerful attacks that he uses in One Piece. Because unlike the show, from the beginning, Zoro does call out his techniques. So I hope that in season 2 he grows up as a real straw hat. And when he does onigiri, he says it. Damn it. But yeah, this is him doing that technique. 103 Mercy's Dragon Damnation, which is a name that makes no sense, but it's a badass moment when it occurs in the Wano arc. But Jamie, what did you like about it? Did you enjoy it? Did you feel that you needed information to be able to enjoy it, or were you able to enjoy it just by step going in blind?
No, yeah, I think this is a really good standalone piece to One Piece as a series, but it also, just based off of the, I guess, limited knowledge that I have of One Piece, I'm able to see, like, oh, you know, this guy kind of looks like Zoro, some connections. He's also carrying a sword. so that's a big one there. And then at the end, you see, like, them both interact. You're like, oh, okay, I'm seeing the connections here. But yeah, I don't think you need to know hardly anything about One Piece, honestly. I feel like if you watch like 10 episodes, you would be able to understand everything that's in here. Maybe even less. I don't know. The only thing you'd probably be confused about is seeing Zoro at the end. You might be like, who is this guy? But outside of that, I think this is a really good standalone story. I definitely agree with you on the pacing. Like, this was just a really like well-paced and well-told story where the narrative just keeps going and you can like kind of sort of see where it's going, but I feel like it still was able to surprise me, and I enjoyed it. So I definitely recommend watching it if you haven't seen it already.
Nice. No, it's a great 25-minute episode/short film. I really enjoy the connection to One Piece. For those that don't know this, the reason that post-credit scene is very important is not just because it solidifies the Ryuma in One Piece being the same character as the Ryuma and the monsters wanted one shot, but the sword that Ryuma is using becomes one of Zoro's swords. See, in the Thriller Bark arc.
I have questions about this because like Zoro only carries 3 swords as far as I know, and then I see that, you know, he's given this what seems to be a 4th sword. So like, does he retire one, or is he just carrying 4 swords now?
Well, remember that during his battle against Mihawk, he loses 2. So the only one that survives the fight with Mihawk is the one that he got from his teacher, which used to be his best friend's sword.
Mm-hmm.
So in spoilers, but when you get to Loke Town, which is the town prior to going to the Grand Line, which is supposed, I would hope, is the first episode of season 2 of live action One Piece, Zoro is able to acquire a replacement 2nd sword, but he doesn't get a replacement 3rd, in my understanding, until Thriller Bark. Which is the one that he gets from Ryuma. Which is a genuine blade from Wano, which we don't get to Wano till 700 chapters later. So he picks up a cursed blade, and then he picks up the one that Ryuma gives him. That's why when you see him in the post credits, and he's leaning down on that scene, he only has 2 blades.
I see. All right. There you go. The math checks out.
I may be wrong, but I think that's how it goes. Because I don't think he loses any more swords in between. I think he just loses those during the Mihawk. Then he gets one, and then he gets the third one with Ryuma.
Okay.
Isaac, does that sound right? Does that track?
Yeah, that track. And speaking of the arc that you want them to start with, if I, from my understanding, the showrunner of the live-action One Piece, they wanted to end season one with that arc, but they were forced to end on East Blue like that because of the limited amount of episode that they had. I think they... I believe I signed something that they hoped they would get at least 10 or something.
That would be great. That would be great. But of course, Jamie's not going to be happy until he sees a little deer. So
that's what exactly. Exactly. You know, just put him in the beginning. He's in every frame, every shot. Somewhere there's a little chopper on the screen. That's what I want. I need them.
So, anything else, guys, on Monsters, 103 Mercies, Dragon Damnation?
No. That was a fun watch.
That it was. Now, the second anime spotlight that we have today is a show that has blown my mind because I wasn't expecting it to be what it is, and I'm really enjoying it. And I can't believe that haven't seen it till today. So shame on me, but I'm glad that there's so much anime and manga in the world that you can discover anything whenever. So we're going to talk about Dorohedoro, which it is a crazy, crazy show. But
that's an honest statement.
I can't wait to watch more of this. So how long has it been since you've seen it, Jamie? Did you kind of rewatch it for the show, or like you've seen it for a long time? Like,
yeah, so I watched Dorohedoro when it originally aired, which was
4 years ago.
2020. Oh my god. Wow. I watched it when I was
supposed to have a season two soon, but
yes.
Go on.
I watched it when it was originally coming out. And one of the things that really attracted me to Dorohedoro is the art style, and also the fact that at the time, I believe it was one of the first anime that I had seen that wanted to use all CG. So that was also really interesting to me as well. Now, with all that being said, I don't think I fully understand what I saw. And rewatching the first two episodes, it's almost like I'm watching it again for the first time because I'm like, I don't know what is going on at all.
Yes. 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 I can see that.
Yeah. It's like one of the most interesting anime I feel like I've seen as well, because it kind of just throws you into the fire, and it's like, you know, you'll catch up, like you'll figure it out. you'll put the pieces together, which I kind of like. I feel like there's, I won't say not a lot of media, but every now and again I feel like we'll get a piece of media that like respects the viewer's intelligence. I was like, we won't feed you everything. Like, you'll figure things out as you go along. I don't know if Dorohedoro is necessarily one of those, but yeah, it's challenging me right now.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna figure it out as you go, or you won't.
Yeah. Like, either way, it's gonna be a trip.
I love that you mentioned that, because the show is so crazy and off the wall insane, mm-hmm, that it doesn't give you previews. Did you guys notice that? Like, when you get to the credits roll, and you normally get like your preview to the next episode, this show is so nuts, and it knows how nuts it is, that it doesn't give you a preview. It literally tells you this is what we've learned on this episode. And it tells you like random facts.
Yeah, it's honestly of the characters.
And then it says what we'll see in the next episode is still hidden in mystery. We'll see you next time. Like they want to make sure that you are aware that, hey, we know this is all nuts. So just, you know, go back and watch whatever you need to go back and right. watch and then go to the next one.
It's
Isaac, insane. You love very cultural, you know, cultural acceptable shows like Debt Leaves. So I want to know what are your thoughts?
Didn't we try to do a commentary track on that yeah, one?
It didn't work, and it's not gonna happen. What are your thoughts on Dorohedoro?
You are a coward if you don't want to do that one again. Yes, and I'm not taking that back. But it's a good point that you were bringing up Dead Leaf, aka getting out of prison thanks to a drill dick. But I mean, that's happened in Dead Leaves. You know it. But I digress. But it's sort of like Dorohedoro for me. It's a weird case of, I don't know if maybe it's just me being insensitized of watching batshit insane stuff for how many years. But it does feel like they want to be sort of like, how should I say, thriller, somewhat of a comedic thriller about him finding out of his original identity, while it wanted to be a balls to the wall style of chainsaw. I wouldn't go so far to say chainsaw man, but or stuff like that. But it's just,
I feel like it's worse in a different way. Worse as in like the violence. The violence is insane.
The violence is more.
Literally,
I can't agree.
I don't know if I Brandon. Agree with being worse.
I have to agree with you,
Brandon. Someone's face got ripped off.
I would dare to say that Chainsaw Man can be more graphic.
Well. That's what I'm trying to say. I feel like this is more graphic than Chainsaw Man, though.
Oh, damn.
I have to
you don't see the face, though. You know that it happens, but you don't see, like, not the yet. Inner workings of the face.
Not yet.
You haven't watched enough.
Okay.
I get it. Three or four episode of this, so I do believe.
I watched the first six because I was very.
And you shouldn't have. But I digress. But
oh, and I shouldn't have. Okay, nobody should watch the show. Podcast over.
No.
Check it out. It's insane.
I don't really know what to think about it, honestly, because it just feels so tonally weird.
Yeah. Yes. I know, me and. Oh, go ahead.
It's just, how should I put it? It's just when I can't grasp sort of like Chainsaw Man, which I also have started reading. It's sort of like those are batshit insane, but I can, when I read them, get the feeling of what tone they want to do, and they go with it and all that, yes, full on. Or, well, Dead Leaves, as we mentioned before. But this is trying to be somewhat serious, but it's still time not serious because of the whole mystery part. And I dare argue that the whole part that they make a big deal of, it's just, do they want to know that it becomes maybe overthinking it, but doing a sort of like big deal about these characters live in the hole, which is the poor people society, and it just or is it some kind of the poor rising up against the rich or something? Because will it be due to that or it, yes?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it necessarily deals with that, because so I can see.
But you get what I mean.
Yeah, like is it trying to do a class divide, or is it trying to do some commentary? But I don't think. I think where this show shines is it's that it's taking to heart the dystopian society aspect of cyberpunk genres, where like this is a world that's just desolate beyond belief because of reasons. Because of an external force, and the external force is these people that can do magic, which to me it's a fascinating concept. Sorcerers are aliens that are constantly invading this planet, because that's the whole thing. That's why there can't be like a class divide, because they don't live in the same planet, they don't live in the same dimension. But these sorcerers have been using them as whatever. I mean, maybe we'll come to find that the whole is actually purgatory, and it's all weirder and weirder and weirder. You know what I mean? Like something crazy like that. Hence why all these people are able to be toyed with by sorcerers in the way they are. But I think that what this show does interesting is that it is a serious tale, because every single character is somewhat serious. Kaiman is just an idiot. It just makes everything crazy and hilarious because, you know, I don't know, it's a guy with a lizard head. It's like, I can't wait to get the DLC where he's in Tekken. Like, I'm waiting for that.
That'd be crazy.
Like, he's a brand new skin for King, right? He has the body. But yeah, like I like how we're so used to seeing, like, the only time that we really see magic users as a problem is in a world where everybody uses magic. You know what I mean? Because there's bad magicians, but here magic is bad, and everyone that uses it is bad in one way, shape, or form. Blood follows them. Like, the idea of them being
the ultimate evil. And they love mushrooms.
It's, they want to get high. By the way, the idea when they go visit the demon world literally says Kaiman in Wonderland. That was just so great. But yeah, I like how magic is never something good. It's always something bad. Everything has it's like the darkness of the world. The idea that everything's done through dark smoke. The fact that magic use in the planets of the whole, it's what's messed up with the weather. And people, like, just can't exist even. They have to hide from the rain even. Like, all those little things are so powerful and so interesting. The whole idea that they stole from Monsters, Inc. about all the doors. Like, and we're going to see Sully later. Like it, you know, that would be awesome, right? Like, the greatest crossover in anime history. Michael's not the Fortnite... Not the Fortnite Disney thing. It's Sully on Dora.
Oh my gosh. That's what Fortnite needs to do next. Anime world. Domain expansion. Anime world.
Someone, of course, versus Gojo. But yeah, I think that it is a serious topic. I think that's what I found most interesting. Because every other single character in this world treats everything with almost seriousness. And everything has stakes. That's every single thing they do has a stake, because someone's life is ending. And also the designs are like very brutal. Like the whole thing about every sorcerers are known because of their masks. Like this is crazy. This is like the kind of stuff that you see. This reminds me of Outlast. Like those characters with the teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's meant to send a shiver down your spine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Reminds me of what now?
Outlast is a survival horror game.
Never heard of.
Like one of the monsters or mutants. It's spooky. But like there's actual people under there, but they have to guise themselves as monsters because every sorcerer has a mask for whatever reason. Like, J. Jonah Jameson would have a fit if these guys exist, mm-hmm. because if you have a mask. But yeah, like, it's crazy. It's pretty crazy. But what I find the most crazy about this show is that even though that none of us, all of us started saying that we have no idea what's going on in this show has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's insane. I did not know that.
And has a 94% audience score. Like, I wasn't even looking for this. I was looking for pictures. I clicked on something and it came up and I'm like, yo, this is like,
that's very popular. That's the other thing that's kind of surprised me about it too, is the fact that it took so long to get a season two, especially now seeing that it's so like well-liked and popular. For me, I was like, I justified not having a season two for a long time because I'm like, I just don't understand what happened. I'm like, I don't even know where they would go from here. But
I gotta finish the season to find out why you're saying that. Now I'm curious. Now
it was years ago. So, you know, I started watching the show again. And I'm like, I don't remember any of this. So this might just be, you know, 2024 Jamie cannot locate 2020 Jamie. So, almost, you know, you got fresh eyes. Just, you know, take it like that.
Honestly, I can see the reasoning being that we have there more. How should I put it? The whole, in terms of manga right now, I'm talking about, not anime, but we have the rise of Chainsaw Man, we have the rise of Dun Dun Dun, those kind of mangas, and we have Chainsaw Man is getting a movie soon, and we have the season one and all that, yes. I wonder if those rise in popularity is what made them say, okay, maybe we can give this second season, because what is hot right now might make the second season explode. Thanks to that, it could all be due to timing of why it didn't get a season two until, announced until rather recently.
See, everything you said makes all the sense in the world. From a marketing standpoint, but then when I researched and found out that MAPPA is the production studio behind Doro Hey Doro, it kind of becomes obvious why we haven't gotten a season two, and it's JJK, Attack on Titan, and Chainsaw Man. I didn't plan it that way. I just found it hilarious. Because what you're saying is 100%. It makes all the sense in the world. But then I was looking at it and I figured out it was MAPPA. I was like, wanted to see if it was someone else. Because I know that MAPPA did season one. But you know how sometimes certain projects will move studios? And but according to what I saw, season two was MAPPA too. So.
But also let's think of it in like this. MAPPA might have taken Attack on Titans because they had room for another show, and they didn't feel like Dororo was popular at that point to get some focus on. But now, when they are done with Attack on Titans, Attack on Titan, and they see the rise of popularity of those properties, Chainsaw Man and Dun Dun Dun, it feels like, okay, let's give that one a season two right now. Because even though I'm a bit split about the whole show, this is a show that I could easily recommend for those that likes. Well, I sound like a broken record now, but I guess like Dun 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 and Chainsaw Man, if you're going up about two popular examples in recent years.
That's quite possible. Yep.
So for those that are interested in the manga, so Doro Hey Doro is available. You can get the mangas on Viz. I wonder if we can read it on this. I'm actually doing the research. See if it's,
I'm fairly certain that it's a manga that has ended for a couple of years ago, because I know yes, the manga
yes. doing it has 167 chapters. So it's not that long. It has a total of 167 chapters. The manga actually ended back in 2018.
Okay.
There's 167
chapters. That amount of chapters makes kind of sense, because I don't really know how you could expand it in the length of the Kaisen or, My Hero Academia, which is on what, 410 or 420? I can't recall right now.
Yeah. But no, but Dorohedoro has been crazy. I love how the author attacks the idea of sorcerers, the idea of magic. I love how magic looks, like the whole thing with the black smoke. Like, mm-hmm. It's very creative. The fact that even you can see the ash coming out of people's blood that are sorcerers. That's how they are known to be sorcerers. What a great way to start an episode, because you know what I mean? Like, this is how the episode starts. This is how the show starts. This guy just opening his mouth, and then you find out he has another head inside.
Yeah, that's like, you know, it's making me think of Death Stranding. I'm like, these two are connected. There's a strand here. The man inside the lizard man and the baby inside of any random person, honestly.
you see, it's funny you say that, because after watching the state of play and the official announcement, well, not the official, but the reveal of the title, Death Stranding 2 on the beach, I kind of want to, because I actually have Death Stranding, but I started playing it and I was like, but part of me kind of wants to go back and, you know, it's Hideo Kojima.
I tried Death Stranding at a friend's house, and quite frankly, I didn't like it.
It's okay. It's okay.
But
I guess I'm up for a walk.
But then again, I'm not a big fan of Hideo Kojima as a whole. I think he's rather pretentious, if I'm being
honest. He's an acquired taste.
He's an eccentric artist.
Yeah.
I watched like a 7-hour video essay talking, just breaking down all of Death Stranding, and it's made me want to play the game.
Can you send me the link to that if it's like on YouTube? Because now I'm interested.
Yeah, I will.
See, I have, like, that's one of the things that's interesting. I'm interested also. I got to make time to watch the Last of Us 2 Grounded. It finally came out. About the making of The Last of Us 2, so I'm really excited about that. Dorohedoro. I'm glad that you brought it up, Jamie, because you're the one that mentioned it, because what a phenomenal, great, great, great show. What's up, Didge? What's up, man? I can't wait. Didge. I really hope...
Are you that surprised, really?
I don't think he is. I hope that we get an official announcement of Dorohedoro Season 2. I know there's a poster. I can't wait to watch more adventures of Nikaido and Kaiman, which, by the way, out of all names, that's the name we're going to give him. Hey, man, I'm okay with it. I'm excited for more Dorohedoro. And you know what? I was talking about Studio Orange. Mm-hmm. But the style of Dorohedoro is kind of what I'm talking about for Sakamoto Days.
Yeah, it's very,
but,
very cool.
But I don't want to say MAPPA.
I don't want to
say MAPPA.
That sucks, man. MAPPA, get your crap together.
I did find it crazy. Did you guys notice that they literally put their name everywhere on the show?
No, you know, I'm not very good at looking for those kind of Easter eggs. I saw it during when I went to see the Cowboy Bebop movie. I saw at the very end there was a little kid wearing a shirt that said like Bones on the back, and I was like, oh, I see what you did there. I see.
So for example, with MAPPA, so there's a scene where someone's listening to a vinyl. Mm-hmm. And it says Dorohedoro Doro Mappa. Oh. And then the last one I remember is on episode 6. That's where you meet like the weird cockroach named Johnson. The manhole cover says Mappa.
Mm,
like nice. Sneaky bastards.
Nice little details there.
So it's not like the Jujutsu Kaisen animator that literally sneaked in an Easter egg of the Mappa animation building getting destroyed during the Shibuya arc, and the animators downright celebrated it when they saw that. Yes, that's a real thing.
I guess I have to watch it.
I'm
waiting for the one. I know you are. I just can't wait to watch this, what I'm saying. I can only imagine there's going to be that one character that's going to do a domain expansion, and out of nowhere, it's just a big bold lettering. Mappa.
It's apparently a blink and you miss it thing, but still. You know, the condition in that studio is bad if they celebrate an Easter egg like that.
Hey, man, we saw it on Psalm 100. Exploitative companies exist, especially in Japan.
And, you know, all over the place, all over the world.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you guys have anything else on Dorohedoro?
No. Yeah, I mean, is the season 2 coming out this year? Do we know when?
So there hasn't been an official. Yeah, well, there hasn't been an official announcement, but a lot of rumor mills, which don't help anybody. A lot of rumor mills say that they kind of expect a 2024 release.
Mm.
But again, grab your bottle of salt and go like this.
I think it's more 2024.
Pick a grain. Yeah, salpe.
I would actually think 2020, 2025, honestly. Because I do think they're going to prioritize the Chainsaw Man movie and Jujutsu Kaisen season 3, honestly.
Maybe.
One can only hope. One can only hope. So, okay, guys, I think we've done the thing.
I believe.
Have we done the thing? We've talked anime. We've talked monsters. We've talked Dorohedoro. If you love what we do here at the Amateur Otaku Podcast, make sure you click on the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you click on that bell for notifications so you don't miss any episode, any stream, any of the amazing shorts that Jamie's come up with, any of the My Hero Academia manga chapters that we've put out videos for that you guys have enjoyed. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of it. And if you want to talk to us on Reddit, on the description is the Reddit that Isaac started for the Amateur Otaku. You can also find us on Twitter at the Amateur Otaku Podcast. We're excited to keep talking anime and manga with all of y'all, because that's what we do here at the Amateur Otaku Podcast. So, you guys are awesome. Stay awesome. Keep watching anime, damn it. Peace.
See you.
Hello.
Coolie, coolie.